There's a lot of virus around and people are coming in contact with people with the virus. They're not following the advice and they're becoming infected. And then on top of that, you have the Delta variant in the area as well. So put those two together, you're going to get increases in cases, and that's what we've seen over the last week. Delta is in the area, and we're not surprised because, as I said to you before, it was in the north. It's the hinterland around Derry. They mix back and over education, work, socialisation, shopping, everything. The border sort of means nothing there because that's what has been for centuries. And if you've got cases in one location and people are going there, you're going to get cases in the other location.
In terms of the amount of tests that were sort of tested, if, as opposed to try and figure out its variant and the percentage of those that were Delta, do we have any indication in that regard at this point?
Not yet, because the results, Delta results are just coming in, because as I said to you before, the new test came in last week, so we're still relying on the old test, which is 3 weeks to get a result, so that has been very, very slow. But it's like this, we know it's in the location, so that's where we have to respond to. Whether it's 5 or 50, we know it's there, and that's it.
And so inevitably, it will become the dominant variant over time.
Oh, I would expect if we got test results straight back today, I presume it would be the dominant strain there.
Already, okay. So in terms of prevention, I was listening to a Vox Pop on RTE on the way up this morning, and the majority of people, I think, at least half of them anyway, but it sounded like the majority, had quite a relaxed attitude to the situation, saying, you know, that things were blown out of proportion, and that naturally they're going to travel between Inishowen and Derry for indoor dining and what have you, and that's just the way it is. Is this just a reality that we are going to have to accept that our incident rate is going to be more aligned to Northern Ireland than it might be in the Republic?
Well, I think so, because, as I've said, that's the way society lives in that part of the county. Has been for years. We're not going to change that. And what I've said to you before is people go around the daily business, but do it safely. Be sensible, be safe. We don't want people getting sick. We don't want people ending up in hospital. And we don't know yet what are the implications of long COVID. So these people who think, it's a mild infection, let them get it, let them get over it. We just don't know what the long-term implications are. And also people are saying, well, the young people are getting it, it doesn't hurt them. And we have seen hospitalizations among very young age groups. So it still is and can be a serious infection.
Part of me wonders, what the next strategy might be for Northern Ireland, because, the decision makers up there are going to be coming under great pressure when we hear later on today from Boris Johnson. Effectively, he is going to say that it's all over, really, from July 19th, that they're going to lift things like mandatory mask wearing, social distancing, nightclubs will be open. You know, the strategy his government seems to be employing is, protection for the older age group, natural immunity for others, and some are very concerned. In England alone, there's 25 unvaccinated or partially vaccinated people, and then the impact this could have on young people. Would you have a concern about that strategy? But also, maybe if Northern Ireland were to follow suit, if they were under pressure to do so, that's bound to have an all-island impact.
It is. I mean, it's not just on the Donegal area, but on the other border areas, and also we know that a large number of people from all over the country are going to Derry, going to Belfast, etc. So it would impact in the immediate, in sort of the short term, on our cases and on our people. And as I said to you before, it's not the numbers, it's the illness, it's the impact on people and people's lives and health. That's what we're trying to protect. We want to try and get back to as much normality as possible. And if people can go about the daily business of work, educations, socialization, etc., and just have to wear a mask occasionally or just watch the distancing, I think that's not a bad compromise.
When you look at the incidence rates over the last number of weeks, and then you look at the hospitalizations in Letterkenny University Hospital, I believe on Friday evening it was four cases on wards, none in ICU. What do you, as a public health specialist, conclude from that?
Well, we know that the cases have shifted from the elderly who are being protected by the vaccine and people who have had completed their vaccination doses. We know it's shifted from them down to the younger people who either haven't got the vaccine and only have one dose. And yes, they're less likely to get terribly ill and less likely to end up in hospital, and that's good. But at the same time, some will end up in hospital, and also some will be very ill at home. They might end up going to the emergency department for a visit and being discharged, but people will still be sick. So, yes, the hospitalizations and ICU are a good indication of serious infection, but we have to remember that if you were at home in bed for 10 days and when you recover from the acute phase, you're still weak and wrecked and washed out for another 4 to 5 weeks and can't really do much, that has a big impact on your life, and we want to avoid that too.
Now, I know obviously that your focus is solely on public health, and I suppose not solely on COVID, but certainly for the purpose of this conversation, Anthony. But there are, you know, the majority of people listening to us perhaps are vaccinated, double vaccinated, you know, and I suppose it's striking a balance between. And many of them are younger and have sort of taken the vaccine to do the right thing for themselves, of course, but for the general population. So, I mean, we don't want to be. I'm not saying you are being, but we don't want to be too pessimistic here. I mean, there is hope there, isn't there? You know,
I fully agree with you. It is a balance and compromise. As I said to you many times before, we want to get back to normal. I think we accept that COVID in some form is going to be there for a while. Ideally, we'd love to get rid of it. We're not going to get rid of it totally. We'd like to get it down to sort of not a flu-like situation. It's more severe than the flu, but in terms of it's an illness that we have a small number getting that we can't prevent by vaccination. We might need to go to a situation for a while of yearly vaccination, but that's where we want to go, so people don't get sick. It doesn't disrupt their lives. They can go to school, they can go to work, they can go shopping, etc., as back to normal as possible. That's where we want to go, because, as you've alluded to, one side of the health is your illness, the other side of your health is your mental health and your economic health and everything else, and that's what we need for a functioning society.
In terms of, you know, some of the papers today, because Paul Reid said, and this is all dependent on supplies, that all adults who want a vaccine may have it by early September, and they're starting to use this freedom term that's been coined in Britain. You would have to surely be going into vaccinating under 18s before you could start talk about fully being ahead of this virus, would you not?
Yes. I mean, we're not going to get herd immunity, which is what we'd love to have, until everybody is vaccinated. That's been looked at the moment in terms of the under-18s, you know, the safety, the efficiency, et cetera, of the vaccine, because we want to stop the virus circulating via herd immunity, and that is, along with possibly, as I said, for a number of years, routine vaccination, maybe once a year, that combined with the herd immunity, that's where we're going to put the lid on this.
So finally, I suppose then, just going back to the case numbers, and I think you've said, and it's quite interesting and important, that it's not necessarily just about those case numbers, but it's also about people's illness and sickness. Your message is then to the people of the Northwest to just continue following the basic...
We discussed before, Greg, I'm not saying don't do things. Obviously, there's things in terms legally they can't do. You can't have so many at a wedding, et cetera. But whatever you do, do it safely. Protect yourself. Even if you do that, if you protect yourself, look after yourself, that protects yourself and has a knock-on effect for the people around you. Mm-hmm. So be sensible and be safe, and that's it.
And very finally, you know, it seems more emerging evidence than listening to GPs. And in fact, I think yourself in our last conversation, there can be a bit of a crossover between the symptoms of Delta, which is going to be more prominent, and, you know, upper respiratory disease, hay fever, what have you. Would you be encouraging people to still go ahead and get tested as soon as they...
Obviously, we've discussed this before. before as well, and you raise a good point again. We're in the hay fever season, and you're going to know yourself, what is this, the hay fever, the same as you had before, in the same circumstances and everything else? If you say, yeah, right, you can say, well, okay, I'll see how I get on. If you say, no, I haven't been near a field of flowers, I haven't been out in a field of hay or whatever, I'm getting the symptoms at night time as opposed to during the day, whatever it is, if it doesn't fit the picture that you normally experience, go and get yourself tested.